We are Brightside.
You've got plenty of notes.
You're plenty of notes. Yep.
What the Meg? There we go. Now, why do you have notes? You don't need notes. You're like me.
No, I don't need notes, but I just have been thinking about this movie since we saw it 4 days ago.
Yeah.
Constantly. So I just wrote everything down so that I made sure that I talk about all of it. Because, you know, you get excited and you forget things. And then later I would be like, oh, my gosh, I've been thinking about that for days. I forgot to say it. So I had to write things down.
Exactly. So this is a true Takeover Tuesday. I mean, this is the epitome of a Takeover Tuesday. By nonetheless, the author of the title, Takeover Tuesday. You're the one that came up with it. For anybody that's a new listener or hasn't heard it in a while, it's like I came up with the idea of doing a Takeover Tuesday, and it was originally just the, you know, the letters and emails and stuff that I would – letters, like people, you know – put a stamp on stuff, but the comments.
All that and, mail you get.
Yeah, exactly. but just the comments from the listeners, right? And I'm like, what should I do? I'm like, my God, what could be a good name for it? And you were the one that said, I remember we were in the kitchen and you were like, Takeover Tuesday, the listeners take over. I was like, that's awesome. And then it ended up evolving into having people on. So yeah. It was Takeover Tuesday. It can never move off of Tuesdays because of you because it's Takeover Tuesday. Doesn't even sound right, Takeover Thursday, even though it's a T. You still have to have the Takeover Tuesday. So there you go. Now, talking to you the other day, and you're like, I got notes, and I got this. And I was like, yeah, it was really good. And I'll talk about it later in today's show, too. I'll give my perspective on Wicked a little bit more. But I will say here, full disclosure, I nodded off a couple times.
Just a couple?
Yeah, exactly. And I felt awful too because I was just, I was exhausted. It had nothing to do with the movie. Mm-hmm. It is a long movie.
It is. And it's only part one.
I know. I know.
Normally that's a play with two parts. You get an intermission.
Yeah, I think they it's funny they had to tell you it's part one too, because I think if you didn't know that going in, people would be very upset after like 2 hours and 40 minutes of sitting there and going, wait, I got to come back now? So at least, you know, you get it out there that everybody knows going in, it's 2:40, this is part one, so you're in for a lot of detail.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny? It is rated PG, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I don't know if this is in your notes, but I wanted to get this out there for people. I don't actually, I mean, it's not violent. It's not anything. I don't know if this is for kids though, for young kids.
I think it would go
so long.
I think it'd go over their head. Like they might like it because it's pretty to look at. There's lots of bright colors. They might like some of the characters, but I think it would go over, like the whole message of it would go over their heads. But I think kids would like it. I don't know, but if you're thinking PG, your next step would be PG-13, and there's no reason to make it PG-13. And also, maybe like a 7-year-old wouldn't like it, but I think like 9, 10, 11, like I think kids that age would get it. I think I've been watching Wicked since I was that age, so.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Yeah. You've been watching it since you were that age, but this is like to take a young kid, like I'd say like anywhere from like 5 to 10 years old, I think would be, I don't know if they would really be involved for the 2 hours and 40 minutes, you know?
I don't know. Kids are sitting through 3-hour Taylor Swift concerts and loving it. So.
Okay. These days. Good call. Yeah. That's live though.
It's still just 3 hours of the same person singing.
Yeah. Yeah.
With nothing changing. Well, her shows are very dynamic, but.
Yeah.
It's still like kids. I don't know. I think kids sit through long things now.
Okay.
Not young kids. I wouldn't take a young kid to see it. It's not bad, but they'd be antsy. Right. But with it being 2 hours and 40 minutes, I didn't think, and I asked Greg, because he's not, he hates musicals. He's right. not a fan of musicals. He's not a fan of musical theater. So I had asked him afterwards if he agreed. I did not feel like 2 hours and 40 minutes was too long. Sometimes I feel like they make really long movies and they feel long, like The Hobbit. Felt long.
Oh, yeah.
When you saw it, you were like, oh my gosh, are we almost done? That's one just off the top of my head, because I remember us seeing that one and we were like, this has got to end soon. Then something else would come up and you'd be like, oh, they're dragging this out. I didn't feel like this was dragged out. I felt like they put in enough detail, but not too much detail. And Greg did agree with me. He said he didn't feel like it was too long. I feel like you could make this too long. You could go way too into depth with different things, but I think they did a perfect job of making it just long enough. And obviously the show, the Broadway show, isn't 2 hours. The first part's not 2 hours and 40 minutes. You wouldn't sit through that. But they had a unique opportunity here to expand on everything, especially, and I think they did an amazing job of it. The Broadway show, I mean, you could be sitting all the way in the back of the theater, so you don't see every little intricacy of the show. And that's a thing with just live productions. You don't see the intricacies. So there's different ways they make you feel that and feel the emotions that they're trying to portray and the story. But with this film, they were able to get into the little nitty gritty details and show you those little emotions and just people's facial expressions, and you don't get that in theater. So that was amazing. I thought they did an amazing job. From the first song, from the opening, they did an incredible job of just showing you the tiny little emotions and details on people's faces.
The close-ups, exactly. Which is, I'll get to that later, but probably later in the day in my other show. But it's like, the close-ups, this for home theater, this is, how many times are you going to go over this when it comes to the home? Like, how many times are you going to be looking at those scenes and those facial expressions and everything and being like, and people coming over and being like, see that right there? That's what it's.
Yeah.
I mean, you were so excited watching you watch this movie. It's like from the very beginning, it's like you had your hands out and you were clapping and stuff. And I was like, oh boy.
I know. Even Greg said the day before we went, or maybe it was the morning that we were going, he goes, you're really excited for this, aren't you? And I was like, yes. Even from the trailer, I knew, like, the trailer made you excited. It was so good. And I was excited because I knew it was something that I thought you guys would be interested in too, even though you're not musical theater fans. It's a good story. Phenomenal cast, great producers and directors. And so, I just thought overall they did an amazing job.
Yeah, I thought so too. It's funny. It's like, I don't choose to go to musicals. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like it'd be like, oh, a new musical, I gotta go see that. But if a musical gets crossed up into something that I like, remember the Flash episode? That was a musical.
Yeah.
And I watched that 3 times in one day. I watched it by myself, watched it with mom, and then I was like, you've got to see this, and brought you down and watch. And I absolutely love that episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved how they intertwined it into the story, into the episode, into a Flash comic, turning it into a musical. I love stuff like that. Moulin Rouge, I like that. Greatest Showman, I like stuff like that. If it's intertwined into stuff that I like, I'm good with that. It's just, I don't choose to go to a musical, but I can appreciate the artistry of it too, especially for something like the ones I just listed. But, you've seen this, mom took you to see this. How long ago? How old were you?
Oh, I don't know. I think I was in high school when we saw it on stage. I've only been to see it once in person, but, I think I started to have an interest in it maybe when I was in middle school, because I watched Glee and they sang a song.
Yeah, yeah.
They sang Defying Gravity on Glee. And so from there, I liked the song, was super interested in that. And then you just kind of go down the rabbit hole. And you can, I mean, there's productions, there's like full tapings of Broadway on YouTube. If you look hard enough, it's not supposed to be there, but right. So you can watch, I mean, you can watch it. So I used to watch it on YouTube. And then Mom and I went to see it. So, but I've only seen it once in person. I'd love to see it again now that I've seen the movie. But now I think I'm just going to sit and watch the movie over and over and over again.
And how long is the musical?
I don't know.
Is it two parts? Is it like...
It's not. So it is two parts in the way that most productions are. Like there's an intermission.
Like an hour and a half and an hour and a half or...
But it's not... like there's two part Broadway shows like Harry Potter that we talked about years ago that like Greg and I saw, we went to the theater, saw the first part and it was like a whole show. And then there was time in between, you went and like got dinner and then you came back because it was two whole shows. This Wicked is not that. Wicked is just a regular production. Let's see.
Running time.
No, that's the movie. 2 hours and 48 minutes. Oh no, yeah. It says the show runs 2 hours and 45 minutes with a 15-minute intermission. So the whole show is this whole movie. So they really, I mean, expanded on it.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, they didn't add a ton. I think they just had more time to, I mean, you're looking at you're looking at different sets, you're looking at costuming, you have so much more that they could have, that they went into for the movie that, I mean, they had to give you time to appreciate that. I think though the songs are relatively like the same, some of them are a little longer. Like they added some things in to different songs because they could do things like, at the end, when she sings Defying Gravity, on the stage production, obviously you don't have her falling from a building and catching the broom. You can't do that. So they were able to go into more detail with that. I think on the stage, she just kind of like is like hoisted up.
Yeah, it's a quicker. Well, even like you were saying about the close-ups and stuff, they can hold on close-ups longer. They can hold on certain things. You get to see and experience some scenery more, like when they show the overshot of like Oz, right? And they're like when they're deciding the color of the road, and that, I mean, all of that can get expanded on and mean like, you know, give you way more detail. And it's just a like a passing shot that you wouldn't get in a play or in a musical, right? On stage, because everything's there on stage and it's for the viewer, you know, in the audience to look around at the different things they want to see. So I guess you're right. It could be the exact same story, just expanded upon and giving you more in-depth detail by bringing the camera into different places and different, that takes time.
And I think too, it's so fun for people who love Wicked and love the play. And I mean, even the book, which I think the book is totally different. I haven't read the book, but the play is inspired by the book. But it's not, I don't think the story's the same. But it's almost like when you read a book and you're excited to see the film adaptation, because in the musical, yes, you have sets, but you only have so much that could be on stage. You only have so many things that you can have on the stage. So even Glinda and Elphaba's bedroom, you have two beds next to each other. One's dark, one's light. That's all you have. Whereas in the movie, you got to see their depiction of their whole room. And even in one of the beginning shots, you get to see their depiction of what Chiz, the school that they go to, looks like. Because you don't have that in the musical, on the Broadway production. In the Broadway production, they just walk on stage and they have like maybe a chalkboard and stuff. And like, this is school. So it was fun to see kind of the way they adapted that. And all of the sets, they made a point to make them real. So they didn't want, the director, John Chu, said that he didn't want any of the sets to be just CGI. So all right. of the sets they built. And I think that made it even more interesting because, and he said that he wanted you to feel like you were immersed in Oz. You were immersed in the different sets, and he didn't feel like you could do that if you just made everything CGI
yeah.
and kind of filmed it in a small studio. So everything was real down to, you know, that opening scene when they sing that original song, they're saying the Munchkin kids are running through the fields, sharing the news yeah. that the witch is dead. That tulip field is all real. It's 9 million oh, wow. tulips they planted.
Oh, wow.
And it's in a rainbow. They made it purposefully in a rainbow as like a nod to Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And that like they have a farmer that they worked with. The farmer, I don't know, I guess the whole way you plant tulips is you after the, I don't know, every season that you plant them again and regrow them. So he, the farmer that helped them is going to replant all of them and I think next year is going to open a place where you can go and like experience Munchkin Land. So it will be like a true immersive experience. But the person, the set designer, the production designer, was Nathan Crowley, and he said that he knew he could pull off the tulips because he actually did Interstellar. And for Interstellar, they did real cornfields because they wanted the same thing. They wanted it to feel real. So he planted 500 acres of cornfields for Interstellar. And so for this movie, he said, oh no, like I can do that. We'll get 9 million tulips. We'll make it feel real. We'll make the real place. I think that makes the movie even better that they were so, everybody that was part of this movie was so into it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's there was a quote that I saw from the director. Would you say Chu? Is his name Chu?
Yeah.
And it was he said he's like creativity isn't magic. It's hard work. And I mm-hmm. loved seeing that because people don't understand people don't that aren't creative or don't or they think it comes easy or they see somebody do something and they're like, oh, well, see, that's easy for you. And it's like they don't understand that. Sometimes the hardest part of creativity is getting it out and showing people what you're thinking, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, and that's what's, you know, like with everything, with a movie like this, like you said, it's like planting all those tulips and all of this and everything. And like people have a vision and it's like, why did they want to do that? Why couldn't they CGI that? Why didn't they? Because they wanted the feel. They wanted everybody to enjoy that, right? To enjoy it and mm-hmm. be able to project that onto the actors, to be able to project that onto the screen and be able to do all this stuff. And it's like, that's not magic, right? That's being creative. Like that's not magic. It's just, it's literally, it's hard work to get that vision out of your head onto, you know, a canvas, a paper, a screen or wherever it is and get people to understand it. And sometimes they don't. Sometimes people don't like it and you're like, oh, well, at least it's out of my head.
Yeah.
Like, you know, take this podcast, for instance. <It's> like, some people are like, oh, yeah, bright side on theater. All right, whatever. Well, it's like watching paint dry. So, but to each his own, you know?
Yeah. Like, what next?
You got the notes.
I know. Well, I'll tell you, my notes are very nicely organized as a not first time podcaster into the sights, the sounds, and the scenes.
Okay. How many are you at Greg's desk?
Yeah, this is Greg's desk.
Okay, because I see you're like looking around like this. It's like you got how many screens you got in front of you?
I have one screen over here. My phone is over here. My phone buzzed. That's why I looked at it.
Oh, okay.
So the screen in front of me where I see you, and then he has another monitor next to that where I was like, oh, I'll put my notes there. So I didn't have to keep going into my phone.
Exactly.
And then I just kind of keep looking around at everything because there's a lot to look at this desk. Microphones above my head, the cameras yeah. far yeah. away. So I just, especially when we started, I kept looking because I asked, he said, oh, do you have my setup all together? And I said, no, I was going to kind of wing it. But he told me everything should just work. The second I logged on, it should just work. So that's why I kind of keep looking to make sure everything's working.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Nothing works as planned for me over here. But, yeah. So actually what I would get to is I wanted to say about all of like the story. How old is this story?
The book was written in 1995 and production was written in 2003, I believe.
Okay. And I thought that wasn't the book based off of something else as well. And don't say Wizard of Oz. I know that it's this, but even just this story I thought was based off of, the book was even based off of something before that I thought I saw.
No, I don't think so. I think the book was just written as like a response to Wizard of Oz. That's all I think. I don't think it was written off of anything else. Yeah, I think it was just inspired by the Wizard of Oz, and the author was Gregory Maguire. I think he just wanted to show a different take on it. What you don't see yet in part two is the Wizard of Oz like happens in like concurrently in Wicked. So Wicked is an expanded take on it. It's not an expanded version because it's not the Wizard of Oz, but it's an expanded take on it. But the Wizard of Oz plot happens in like, it's happening kind of behind the scenes in Wicked. Essentially the way it opened is the way it ends, because it kind of comes full circle. It was changed. I mean, the book was changed for the production. But yes, 1995 is when it was written.
Okay. Yeah. And so is this fairly faithful and everything? Because I love the story. Like I said, I was talking to Mom about it and she nodded off too. She was sitting separate from us because of the way I see. Yeah, she's like, I nodded off a couple times, but I don't think she did as many times as I did.
I'm going to have to take you guys and see it in the morning after coffee or something.
Exactly. No, that happened to be, it just was a long day. And I was just, and that's the other part. The theater seats are so comfortable now.
No, you like, put your feet up.
Yeah, it's like, and I never put my feet up. And did I put my feet up that time?
No, I don't think
so. I don't think so. I never put my feet up. For that reason, I want to be sitting at, and I was sitting at attention, and there you go. I still was like, I was like, and it sounds awful because I don't want to say like I didn't enjoy the movie. I did. But I do really like the story. I love the idea of how the character, like, it's just a great character development thing of like, how does somebody become that, or how does somebody become what they are, right? And it's like, and you see like how just everything, how it, like she had all the best greatest attributes, all the best intentions and everything, and you're like, you just keep getting badgered down. It's like, what is going on? And I just thought it was a great story of a character in a great way to like how you think to do that. But then to put it like on this scale, like you said, it's like, it's twice as long as the play
So what I like about it is that I think the Wizard of Oz, and especially the times that they were written, the Wizard of Oz, I think was 1939, I think. And I mean, film and story back then was tended to be very black and white, like good, bad. This is the story. It's kind of just you didn't have to go so into depth because film was so new that you just were going to do great no matter what you made. You know, if you made a fun film, people would watch it. But the original Wizard of Oz story is so black and white. Glinda's good. Elphaba's bad. No. She's not Elphaba in the Wizard of Oz, but the Wicked Witch is bad. But I like what Wicked does with it is it completely flips it on its head And it's not just saying what made her bad. It's saying, is she really bad? And
right. Even when she was perceived as bad, is she even bad?
Is she even bad? And what it also does, though, is begs the question, is the people you think are good, good? And I mean, you see that the tiniest bit in The Wizard of Oz, because you see that the Oz isn't great and powerful. The wizard is not actually great and powerful. Same in this story.
Looks are deceiving.
I feel like saying spoiler alert, but like everything's been out for so long. This is just another adaptation.
Right.
You can't spoil much. But the whole premise is it's not black and white, and it's just
don't base anything on perception.
And even in the beginning, so they open with the song "No One Mourns the Wicked," and it's Glinda showing up to the Munchkin Land to say, to confirm, like, yes, the Wicked Witch was dead, and they're all having a party, cheering, being excited, because they're perceived threat and the bad guy is dead. But that whole song is actually, so in the Wicked fan base, it's not like, if you delve deep enough into it, the whole song "No One Mourns the Wicked" is actually about Glinda. And some people like to see the story Wicked as Glinda's story of, it's not really about Elphaba. It's not really her story, because we always knew people thought she was wicked. It's really, if you go deeper into it, it's about Glinda, and is she actually Glinda the good? Or is she just that because that's what people perceive her as? And she sings, "No One Mourns the Wicked. The Wicked Die Alone." Trying to think of the lyrics. It's hard to think when I'm speaking.
When you're speaking. When you're being recorded and you're speaking. Yeah, when I'm being recorded. And everybody's hanging on every word.
I know all the words. Stress. She says. She says, "And goodness knows the wicked's lives are lonely. Goodness knows the wicked die alone. It just shows when you're wicked, you're only left on your own." And you can see, and what I love about the film is that Ariana Grande as Glinda does such an amazing job in that opening scene of walking around, and she is supposed to be this bearer of great news. She's the public figure that everybody looks to, and that's the role she chose. That's who she wanted to be, and that's what she chose. At the end, when Elphaba was saying, "Come with me, we can change the world together," and she said, "I don't want that. I don't want to go against the grain." What she chose, what she in that moment thought was good, was to be a beacon of light, to be somebody that just brings hope to people, whether it's founded on anything real or not. And in the end, she realizes she's alone. She has nobody. She's celebrating the death of her friend with all these people, and it's not real. Her celebration isn't real. Nobody actually knows what's going on. And it flips it on its head that she's looking at herself saying, "I'm the wicked one. I'm the one that chose the wrong thing. I'm all these people are celebrating the death of my friend, and I have nobody left. I'm all on my own. I'm going to mourn alone. When I die, I'm going to be alone. My best friend is gone. I have nobody to relate to anymore." At the very beginning, a little girl asks Glinda, "Glinda, what makes someone wicked?" And she says, "That's a great question. Are people born wicked, or do they have wickedness thrust upon them?" And it's so cool to see her character development of, she genuinely believes she's good. She genuinely, and you laugh at it, and she's supposed to be funny throughout the show, and she does funny things. She says stupid things, and she, like, when she offers, she says, "I'm going to help." She says to Elphaba, "I'm going to make you my new project. Now that we're friends, I'm going to make you my new project." And she sings her whole popular song, and she's going to help her become popular. But, and Elphaba says, "You don't have to do that. And Glinda says, I know, that's what makes me so nice. And that's the whole point of her character, is she genuinely thinks she's doing something nice for somebody. She genuinely thinks in doing these superficial things, that's going to help someone's life, and she's changing their life. And that's, she realizes, not the case. She's not changing anybody's life. She's just doing superficial things, and she's just kind of glossing over everything. And it, in the end, she ends up alone and the actual wicked one.
Yeah. Well, and that's, but that's the, I'm looking forward to the second one. I don't think you've spoiled anything. I mean, like you said, there's no spoilers here. It's a story that's forever old. Going back to Wizard of Oz. I mean, the Wizard of Oz, the entire thing is based on the perception of things, right? Like, you just because something looks a certain way doesn't mean it is that way. Mm-hmm. And that's the, I mean, literally starts in black and white, goes to color. This is all this stuff. It's, I mean, so much depth just to that. But then now fleshing out these two characters, it, you know, it's the world we, and that's one of the things that I liked about this is that, one of the many things I should say is that going back, this was written in 95, but then it's based, I mean, so many things. People could look at this and go, oh, this is so, it's like, this is today's society. Mm-hmm. And be like, no, it's, this is people. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's not today. It's not yesterday. This is people in
general. This is human nature. Yeah.
Exactly. And it's like, we look at things, oh, well, you're an initial perception of something is, oh, well, they're doing this or they're thinking this or this. Mm-hmm. And it's exactly like you said. It's like, if they're that good of friends or that, you know, if they're who they are, I love the part when she's like, you know, Glinda or whatever her name is, right? Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, I'm going to help you with that. I'm going to help you. If I get the powers, I'm going to help you fix that. And it's like, nobody said it was a problem.
And that's just it. She genuinely believes that she is helping. She's being an amazing person because everybody confirms that for her. And I mean, they kind of show, like, lead on that that's been her whole life. Everybody just says, you're amazing. You're so great. And I mean, we see that in people. If you're people, you have parents that tell you constantly, you're amazing. You're perfect. You can't do anything wrong. You grow up to think that. And the people in it even say, like, when they have to room together, she didn't mean to volunteer herself. The whole point is she accidentally volunteered herself to room with Elphaba. And the whole school is saying, Glinda, you're just too good. How do you stand her? And they even say, Glinda, you're a martyr. Like, We're so impressed with you. And she says in the song, she kind of takes a minute and she looks around. She's like, oh, I am just too good. And she says, these things are sent to like teach us a lesson. Like, it's, I'm doing this. Like, it's where we have to be good. We have to give. And it's just another lesson in life. And everybody's like, oh, she's so smart. She's so great. But she didn't mean to do this. She didn't want this. She just kind of flips it to say, oh, look what I did. Look how great I am. It is. I mean, it's human nature. And the whole point of Wicked is that the book and is that it was like a political statement. It was based on politics and kind of just making it into a fictional universe. But that, I mean, is everything. If you look back on a political commentary from the Roman Empire, it more often than not can be mirrored today. And you can take it whatever way you want. Because I see a lot of videos right now of people saying, oh, like, this is a political commentary and relating certain characters to certain people in our world today. But both sides can do it. Both sides can relate the characters that they want to relate to it. And it even more forces that message of it's all based on your perspective and it's all based on perspective. And there's no, it's not black and white. There's no good or bad. Everybody, there's complexities to everybody. And some people are like, it's not, some people are more good than others. It's just the way you look at a person.
Yeah, exactly. And it's if you in any situation, if the what you're really looking at is what is the intent of the other side, right? Like if you're looking at something like, do they have good intentions or do they have bad intentions? If you, and how do you analyze that? Like, how do you think like, oh, they're different from me? It's like, we see it all the time. Let's get out of political, get into parenting, right? Mm-hmm. There's a million ways to raise a kid. And like when you have your friends and everybody raises their kids differently, and when you're close with enough people, you're like, you do that, mm-hmm. but you don't tell them how to do it. It's like, if you have the best intentions, the kid's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Right. It'll be like, it's different. Everybody's, and that's why we're all different, but it's just, are the best intentions there? Now, if you're taking your kid out and you're beating the crap out of them physically and you're like, you're putting them to work as a slave in the backyard because you're doing, they'll be like, that's not the best intention. You're not trying to raise a kid. You're just trying to be like, hey, you, I need somebody to do this for me. So that's why I had six of you. It's like, no, that's not good. And I went to an extreme there, but you see what I'm saying? Where it's like, oh, you let your kid do what? Well, I don't do that. Okay. But you're protecting them. You're doing this. You're doing that. It's like everybody, there's multiple ways to do things. And in, you know, like this, it's like, I think the error, the slight error on like, say, Galinda's part, when you say in the part where it's like, I'm going to help you fix that. That's not a bad idea. If the person said, I've got this issue, right? Yes. I have an issue here. Yes. It's when you're like, I'm going to help. Like you just projected you just looked at a person and went, oh, I feel sorry for you. Mm-hmm. For what?
Yeah.
I thought I was good over here. I'm fine, you know? So I think, and like you said, it's like, I love that part where people can look at this and they go, oh, this is me. And all sides could say that.
Yeah.
Like everybody looks at it that way because that's how everybody feels. That's what's fun about art like this and how it points at people, at society, at things. And it always has, like you said, it goes all the way back to the Romans. Like, oh my God, this is, you know, all of these things. This here, it's like, I saw traits like this in Oppenheimer. And now you
literally just going to say that only because you have the poster behind you and it made, right. I was thinking about Oppenheimer, but I was thinking it all has to do with the way you look at it. Who's the good guy? Who's the bad guy?
Right.
And what were people, like you said, what were people's intentions? Cause even sometimes when you have the best intentions, you might've done something wrong. Same like with Linda, she always had good intentions, but she isn't doing the most righteous thing, you know? And
right.
It kind of makes you look at like yourself and the actions you take and say like, what are my intentions here? Like, am I just doing this? Am I just helping this person to make myself look better? Yeah. Right. Or am I actually trying to selflessly help another person? And it's like you said, like with Oppenheimer, like who's the good guy? Who's the bad guy? And it's not, there's no black and white in that, especially because, I mean, Oppenheimer's a true story and you see how it plays out in history and where we are today. I mean,
yeah.
It's hard to say because we want to say who's the good guy, but there's tragic things that happened because of it. There could have been tragic things that happened if the whole story didn't play out the way Oppenheimer did, you know?
Right. But I mean, like Oppenheimer's a part of history. It's something that happened and you watch how that plays out and you can see it. It's played out multiple times since in the same way. Mm-hmm. But that's like I said, it's not a documentary, but it's a creative way to tell that story. Whereas Wicked is literally, it's just all creativity.
Yes. Right. Just it's a fictional universe.
Yeah. Exactly. Fictional universe using colors to tell the story. Like just the pink and the green that they use, those are opposite colors. Because red and green are opposite and the tones they use there, they're opposites. But which is good, which is bad? And in this case, what I think is funny is green is typically known as a loving color. It's nature. It's all of this stuff. But that's the evil here. Mm-hmm. And then the pink, which is the subdued red, is typically f- for the devil, is for evil, is for all of these things. Which here, what are we doing here? Which one? I mean, think of the depth that they go to for none of this. I almost said a swear word. None of this crap, I should say, is random, right? Yeah. And that's where you get back into creativity isn't magic. It's all of that plays into stuff like this. And it's like, you know, perception is reality, but it doesn't mean it's true. Doesn't mean it's fact. It is reality to you, but it doesn't mean it's fact. And how this plays out is just, I know what this is, like a home theater show, and it is. Mm-hmm. This is going to be an awesome home theater movie.
It will be.
Tons of stuff to analyze, but yeah, it's just going to the theater and experiencing this. I don't know if you have it in your notes. I haven't seen Gladiator 2, but they are comparing this to Barbenheimer. What are they calling it? Yeah, they're calling
That's
it
funny.
Wicked and they're calling it Glicked or Glicked. They say Glicked. I think they mean Glicked.
Yeah.
But they spell it Glicked. Glicked.
Yeah.
Like, did you get Glicked? Did you get Glicked? I guess
That's
not.
Funny.
Yeah, but I don't think that it's equal to Barbenheimer, because those two movies are stand on their own.
Yeah, I think they stand on their own, and also like Gladiator 2 is like a sequel, you know, it's second. I don't think it's like, I don't know. I don't care about Gladiator 2. And I was a participator in Barbenheimer, and I think those are two, like Barbie and Oppenheimer were two very, like, they were the first of their movies. Oppenheimer should probably always stand on its own. I don't think they're going to make a sequel of that. Barbie, I mean, they could probably go make a bunch of sequels, just because if they want to make a lot of money, they could. But I like, those were two, like, original movies coming out, and Wicked is, like, one original movie, and then there will be a sequel. But I feel like, I don't know if people are going to see both. Maybe.
I've heard.
Just because, like, if, say, Greg was really interested in seeing Gladiator 2 and I really wanted to see Wicked, we'd drag like, each to our own movie.
Isn't that kind of what happened with Barbenheimer, but then it kind of caught on?
Yeah, maybe.
To see both? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it's going to be a great home theater movie. Like I already said.
You just looked off to your other screen. Do you have that in your notes?
No, I was going to say something that I have written down.
I know. And you're like, you looked over and went, it is going to be a great home theater movie. And it's like, I'm scaring the hell out of my listeners right now, because they're all like, I'm never going on that show. If they've never been on, they're like, this is what he's doing to his daughter. He's going to tear me apart. Like,
no, he'll tear me apart way before he tears you apart.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I know she can take it. It's like, she's tougher than I am.
No, I already touched on the sights with the sets, and then I wrote for the sounds. I was gonna talk about that, because I knew I was coming on a home theater podcast.
Right. you were coming on a home, your dad's.
Well, every time I come on, I don't think I've been on your, have I been on home theater?
Yeah. Yeah, you've been on home theater, of course.
I feel
this
like
is where
more...
you were first. Oh, a long time ago. Mm-hmm. You were. Yeah.
I was on chat way more. Like, I was on chat first. Because we did Wonder Woman was our first one, and that was chat.
Right. I think your blonde is coming out. No, I think you thought that was chat. It was home theater.
No,
you were
wasn't.
On home. Yeah, the only time. That,
no,
when
it was
you were
chat
on...
because it was Wonder Woman and it had to do with comics.
Yeah, no, it was, I'm telling you, I'm the one that produced the shows. You were on chat for when we did Harry Potter.
I thought it was all the same thing.
No, it's, you've been on, because Joe was on here too. Joe comes on for Die Hard. You've been on, you were the first one. You were probably on chat. It's like, we didn't have guests on chat until we brought you and Dr. Joe on to talk,
I feel like on chat, though, we talked more stories. And I know home theater, people care about home theater. So I have home theater notes. That was where we were getting with this whole conversation.
Okay.
As I said, I have the sights, the sounds, the scenes. I've got.
It'd be so funny if you're right and I'm wrong.
think that's usually how it happens.
I'm getting a phone call here. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
That was weird.
Important one that you need to take.
I got a phone call through my, it's because of my MacBook.
Oh.
I'm getting a, in my, so that was weird.
Yeah, I did hear it.
You did? Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so for the sounds, I wanted to talk about, I don't know if it's something that you notice or not, but all of the singing they did was live, so they didn't pre-record their singing.
Oh,
Ariana
really?
Grande, yeah, and Cynthia Erivo sang everything live. So even when, in the end, when she's swinging around on the with the broomstick and like flying around the studio, that was all live. They sang everything live. And they said that they wanted to do that as like a nod to the Broadway production. Cynthia Erivo comes from Broadway. Ariana Grande doesn't. She has a musical theater background growing up. And then obviously she became a pop star. And originally they didn't even want to cast her for this because she has that image of the pop star. The casting directors kept saying they said they didn't want her. They knew she wanted to audition and they said that they didn't want her. But every time she came to an audition and every time she came to a callback, they said she was the most interesting person in the room and they just like, they couldn't choose anybody else. And she trained, like she was ready to, she was on tour when the idea originally came about. And she said that she told her team, like, if this is happening now, we're stopping tour. We're going home. I'm getting voice lessons. I'm training for this. Like, I need this role. She loves Wicked. And they said too, she was super influential on set because she would tell the directors like what they absolutely couldn't cut or change from the show because she loves Wicked so much. She'd say, no, no, if you change that, people aren't going to be happy. You have to keep that or you have to keep these little things. But yes, they said they wanted to sing live as a nod to the Broadway production. And I think it added so much to what they were doing, because if you're pre-recording your singing, you don't get that musical theater storytelling that you do when you're singing live. Like, you don't get the emotion that you get when you're singing live, because it is so much, the story is dependent on the songs. The songs, you could just listen to the album and the songs will tell you the whole story. So their live singing just elevated the movie that much more. And I think is a huge reason it's going to be what it is. It's going to be so well received, but it'll be amazing to listen to with your home theater speakers. I want to know how you feel. Greg can't get past that. He does not like the like opera singing that Ariana Grande does. That is Glinda. That's the character. She sings that way. Greg hated it. He's like, I couldn't tell what she was saying. I didn't like it.
Oh God. No, I didn't
but
mind
that
it.
That is Glinda. Cause she's supposed to be like,
yeah,
just this magical
larger
like,
than life,
larger than life picture. And she, but Greg hated it. He's like, I couldn't tell what she was saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Larger than life and like perceived to be all good.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's why, and when you put that kind of like, I want to say like an, like you said, like opera singing, like, like it's
like
supposed
a fairy.
To be
like
heavenly.
She's like,
yeah.
Yes, exactly. Heavenly. And she comes down in a bubble. And they also they changed some of the songs.
And notice for her to step out of it, she has to burst the bubble.
Yeah, she has burst to burst the bubble. But then
burst
I like
the illusion,
when she like
burst every, yes. I mean, the signs, the symbols there. Mm-hmm. Are just like,
and I like too when she steps on it to like, to make the bubble come back. Because I think you would wonder that. You'd be like, what is if she blow the bubble? What happens? She just kind of like steps on something and a bubble cut, like on a lever. I love that scene too, because she finishes this song in big production and then she goes and it kind of lets on how she's putting on a facade. She kind of like drops that facade for just a second because she says, it's one of my favorite parts of the movie. And it's like, I love these little things she did so well. That's why I want to see it again so I can just watch them over and over again. But she says, all right, if that's all, I'm going to go. and like hits a bubble and it comes back. And I just, she does such a good job with that because she drops that facade of like, everything's great. Everything's amazing. We're so happy. The witch is dead. She's like, all right, that's like, I did what I came to do. If that's all, I'm going to go now. I love that. But the other thing with the sounds is that they changed some of the songs and the composer added things in to be kind of a nod to the original Wizard of Oz, and not even to Wicked, to the original Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
And he added music in the background of certain songs. Like he added Somewhere Over the Rainbow to The Wizard and I, which is the song that Elphaba sings kind of in the beginning when Madame Morrible tells her, oh, you could be the wizard. Like, I've never seen powers like yours. The wizard would probably want to work with you. And she kind of like has this whole scene where she sings and daydreams about how people will accept her because she'll be with the wizard. And but they play Somewhere Over the Rainbow in the background of that. And then also as she's running through the field, there's a rainbow and there's bluebirds flying.
Yeah.
So it was like a nod to that. And then in the scene when they go to the Emerald City, they have music like Follow the Yellow Brick Road playing in the background of that music. And then obviously you see them choosing the color for the Yellow Brick Road, which was fun. So yeah, that's what I have for the sounds.
The sights, the sounds. The sounds. Yeah, I wish I could remember specifics about the theater we saw it in had Dolby Atmos.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice, I'm definitely talking about this later today, but did you notice at the beginning, getting back to the sights, the Barco commercial? Yeah. Like how they showed you it's a Barco projector in the theater?
Yes, I did beginning? See that. Yes.
The laser Barco projector and how they do. And I was like, a quick home theater side here. It's like, those are very expensive high end projectors, mm-hmm. right? That's not like, I mean, even if they had a very expensive high end Sony projector or something,
mm-hmm.
that would be like, okay, cool. It's like, I'll get a Sony for my house. Or if they had something that was comparable, like they'll have a model down for the home use. Barco projectors are super expensive, and to get one in the home, which I want, but they're super expensive.
Yeah.
I was like, are they making a push into the whole market to be able to put that ad out there?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, I know, yeah, because they don't usually.
You don't go to Best Buy to pick up your Barco projectors.
Yeah,
never said it. They've never told you what kind of projector they have back there. We never knew. And it was only in home theater, we would know stuff like that, but they never say it there. And for them to do a whole, I mean, it was the trailer that ran before the Dolby Atmos trailer.
Yeah.
Right. And they come out with the Dolby Atmos trailer to get you to, hey, what's Dolby Atmos? And can I get that at home? And it sparks the interest. And if you're interested in it, or your husband is, you're screwed. Like you are.
Yep.
Right? So like now all of a sudden they're doing a Barco commercial. Like I'm like, are they going to start? Now I'm not saying that they're going to do this so that we go out and buy those really $60,000 projectors.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if they're going to start coming out with a lower, like a cheaper.
That's what I was going to say. I wonder if that means they're pushing into the home market, but not like buy our super expensive projector, but something more affordable.
Something's coming down the road.
Yeah.
Yeah. That way you could say, I got a Barco.
Like Dolby Atmos. Like obviously if you get Dolby Atmos, you're not getting what they have in the theater. They have however many speakers in that giant theater. But it's this like they advertise it so that you think, well, I want that at home. And then you go, I mean, if you Google Dolby Atmos, the website comes up and shows you like, this is how it sounds in your living room. I bet maybe they're pushing for something down the line of you can get this for your home, but smaller and more affordable.
Yeah, exactly.
I did notice that though. I was like, oh, that's weird.
Yeah. And I think most people would be like, what's Barco?
Yeah.
Right? Like, what is that? Like, where do I get one? What? Why would I get one? Most people, you know. But, I mean, when Dolby Atmos first came out, it wasn't available at home. It's like, I remember being in the theater and being like, oh boy, I got to have this at home someday. And it was like a year or two later that we eventually got it for the home. And of course, home theater people are like, yay, all right. And I'm sure, you know, there's plenty of home theater people that are going to be like, Barco? Oh, what's that? And I just thought that was interesting. Picture was great. Obviously, the sights, the sounds, the scenes, the picture was amazing. But getting to the sounds, like you were saying, it's like, I wish I could remember some pans or something, but it was the music is what it was, and it does sound great.
Yeah.
It's hard to describe it though in a large environment like that for this type of a movie. I'm wondering how that's going to play at home. Where do their voices move differently around the room? Is it because in a home theater like ours, it's like, it's a more intimate environment. And if the, if the characters are on one side and the, you know, the vocals might be over there, I don't know. It was hard to tell, you know, especially when you're asleep. see, I'm making fun of myself too. It's hard to tell how that's going to play at home for something like this.
Yeah. I don't know if it'll necessarily like you said, travel. I'm sure, I mean, these are film producers. I'm sure they were paying attention to that. I think what's going to be cool about the sound for this at home is that because they sang live, it's going to feel like you're at the production, but just like up close and in it. And that, I think that's really cool for people who love the Broadway production of Wicked, because normally when you go to a Broadway production, sound doesn't move around you. You sit and sound comes from in front of you, you know, they have microphones, but it's not that the microphones just project. They don't, you know, do different sound. I don't even know what you call it. Sound techniques. they don't have surround sound in a theater. They don't change the way the sound comes to you. It's just projected through the microphones. But this, I think, because like you said, it's a more intimate experience at home. I'm sure there'll be some cool things, but I think the big thing that people will notice is that it feels like you're in the musical because they're singing live and because of the way they did it. And that's, I think that was more of the point of what the director wanted, was you to feel like you're a part of it. Not, I don't know if it'll be like super exciting for people who are home theater people, but maybe. We'll see.
Well, it definitely will play well with a sound bar. It's going to play well with a regular, you know, just the speakers on your display because like you said, it's coming from a stage oriented situation where if you have, you know, a left and a right channel, it's going to play fine for people like that because it is the sights, the sounds and the scenes are just so fantastical. To use that term.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's going to be overwhelming for people when this does come to the home. But there was a movie I watched, that I'll talk about later today that it's an older movie and the sound is very front heavy. It's in Dolby Atmos and it was very front heavy. But then all of a sudden in the movie, I was like, wait a minute, the sound, and it was an orchestra, right? Mm-hmm. And the sound filled the room. And you're like, why is it filling the room? But all the way up until this point of the movie, the sound was very front heavy. And it actually was part of the movie. It played really, really well. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if we're going to get some of that with Wicked at home, you know, where it's like in a large, you know, big auditorium like you are at a movie theater, it doesn't play as well. And I'm hoping that, you know, obviously you'll get the, you know, the end scene in particular is going to probably sound fantastic.
I think that will be so cool. I think you'll hear her flying around you.
Yeah.
I think that'll be amazing. I can't wait to see it again.
I can't wait to see it again too for the first time. But I got it. I got the gist. I got the gist of it.
Something I found out after seeing the movie that I thought you'd love is, you know, the guy that rides his horse, the Prince Fiero. that rides his horse around, the actor Jonathan Bailey, got the part of Pierre. Anyone that wanted to play Glinda or Elphaba had to audition. They said they weren't doing any just like offering of the role. They made them all audition. I think he was just offered the role of Fiero. I think they just said, this is the guy we want for it. So if that's wrong, forgive me. But when he was offered the role, he said yes, but only under the condition that he could work with, because he knew Fiero had a horse, only under the condition that he could work with the horse that he worked with in Bridgerton. So he's in Bridgerton and he has his own Bridgerton season. And I guess he loves this horse so much. An actor horse, because it's in a show, that he said he would only do the part if he could have his horse from Bridgerton play the horse. So he got his horse another part. I thought that was a fun thing.
That's funny. I'll get your role, buddy.
Yeah, exactly.
You're coming with me.
You gotta come with me. It is cool. Like, you know, they work well together. I can imagine that if you feel like you work really well with an animal, you'd want them in.
Yeah.
If you need another animal, if you need the same animal in a different production. But yeah, I thought that was funny that it was like, well, I'll do the role, but only if I can have my horse.
Well, I have not been around horses a ton, but I have one experience, with a horse, and I was doing a job with, Uncle Charlie, and the guy raised horses, and we were like on a break. We went over and I was just quote unquote playing with a horse, and I'd never done that before.
Yeah.
And they're just like dogs.
Yeah. They're big dogs. They're super,
they're playful. Just big dogs, and they just want to be with people. And it's like, I was literally throwing a ball, playing fetch with a horse.
Yeah.
With a giant ball.
Yeah.
And I was like, I never thought of them that way. I just thought they were just more independent, like cats, right? Mm-hmm. Like, cats are kind of captive pets. And I know Joe just got a cat, and it's like, I love cats too, but they're kind of like, we're living on their terms, not the other way around.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So, they don't want to please you.
No, they don't. You're inconsequential to their life.
Yes. It's like,
they're like, all right, I like the roof and all, but it's my house now.
Exactly.
I appreciate it. Yeah. Get me some food or I'm going to make it real ugly around here. Mm-hmm. So, but then horses, I could see that, like, why you would want to do that. I'd be like, if I had a role for a dog and I had the dog, I'd be like, I want that dog.
Oh,
I want my dog to come with me.
Yes.
So, I mean, I definitely get that. And I think it's great that he was that loyal to his horse. Like, I'm only doing it because in Hollywood, they could be like, no, we don't care about you that much. Oh, and then he'd go to his horse. Sorry, buddy. Neither of us got it now.
Yeah.
Right. This is audio only. And I'm sitting here hugging my horse.
Hugging a horse.
On the video. I'm like, sorry, buddy. Love you. Here's an apple. No horse. Like, I don't care. It's like, I'm not in this for fame. So sights, sounds, scenes?
Scenes?
Do you have scenes?
I have scenes.
All right, now I'm going to call you out again. Now you're gradually trying to look over like I can't see your eyes. You were like, scenes? And your eyes shifted. It's like when you're in a restaurant and somebody goes, don't look over there. Okay, what do you want? Oh, that's casual. Like, but mom does it all the time. Don't look over there. She does like the 5 minute turn.
Yes.
Really slow. It's like, you know, you could just look quick and back and not have to focus.
Well, if I have to read, I can't look quickly to read.
I know. No, not you. I'm talking about in public when you say, don't look over there. All right. Scenes, so scenes.
I thought it would be fun to talk about the just like nods that they did to the originals, because it is an adaptation of, a book and a Broadway production, but then also of The Wizard of Oz, which is a film. So the book came up with this, but the Elphaba's name, the author came up with it because, you know, you had Glinda in the in Wizard of Oz. She was named, but Elphaba was just the Wicked Witch of the West. So to tell a story about her, author had to give her a name. You know, you couldn't just constantly call her the Wicked Witch of the West because that's not what she was born as.
It's not a given name.
So he wanted to. Yeah. Well, they didn't like her.
What else are you going to be?
I wouldn't put it past them. They didn't like her.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you name your kid Bozo, he's going to be a clown.
Exactly. They came up, he came up with Elphaba though, because he wanted to honor the original creator of The Wizard of Oz, who is Lyman Frank Baum. So it's Elphaba. And that's how he came up with Elphaba. That's how he came up with her name. Isn't that cool? I thought that was a fun thing.
I thought it had something to do with alphabet. I was like, I kept wanting to finish the word.
Like E-L, Elphaba.
I know. I saw it written out since then, but yeah, listening, I was like, Alphabet? Alphabet soup?
Yeah, that's how he came up with it. I thought that was cool. And then, so I guess the other things kind of tie into part two and where it's going to go. So I don't want to give too much away, but you have already seen the slippers, you know, that are a part of Wizard of Oz. I don't know if you noticed, but they're silver.
I saw the movie.
So what was fun that they did was Glinda and her song about becoming popular and helping Elphaba be popular. She does pull out ruby red slippers. She pulls out a pair at one point and shows them to her. So that was like a fun little nod. But they also in the Wicked musical, the slippers are also silver. I think there might not be a reason for that. I think they just don't have the rights to the ruby red slippers. So I think that's where that came from, that they just can't make them ruby red because I think Wizard of Oz is MGM. And
good question.
I think, and this is Universal, so they couldn't make them red. But what they did do is, if you look at the heel of these silver ones, they made them in a shape of a tornado.
Yeah.
So they're like tornadoes.
I did see that.
And then
there was another one I saw like that too.
Did you
can't remember what it was.
Was it the bike? That's what I was going to say next. When they saved the lion cub.
Yeah. You said that one.
So the lion cub.
Yeah.
Kind of where it all goes. You've met all the Wizard of Oz characters already. You have met the Scarecrow, you met the Lion, and you met the Tin Man.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, you just don't know who they are yet.
Yeah.
It gets really fun. There's a lot more to happen. But the lion, when she puts the lion cub in the, when they save the lion cub, she puts him in a basket on the back of a bicycle and rides the bicycle off. So that was... that was kind of and that doesn't happen in the play. That was something they came up with for the film. And that was obviously a nod to The Wizard of Oz when the lady takes Toto and puts him in the basket on the back of the bike and rides off with him.
A little dog too.
Yeah. But yes, you did. I mean, the lion, I think, is an obvious one. You meet that little lion cub and he becomes Courage the Cowardly Lion. But yes, you've met everybody. So those are my scenes, but I think it'll be fun especially you who doesn't know the story, to see where it goes in part two. Because you still have to, we got to the part where we think she becomes wicked, but you still have to get to the end. There's a whole nother story behind. We still have to go through all of The Wizard of Oz. That was just like the opening.
Wait, so say that again? We still have to go through the story of The Wizard of Oz?
Yeah, because I the end of Wicked is the beginning of Wicked. So how open with that scene, the witch is dead.
Yeah.
The witch is killed at the end of Wizard of Oz. So you still have all of that to go through.
What? All right, now I'm really confused. So, what did the house land on?
Elphaba's sister, Nessa. Remember her sister in the wheelchair? And her magic shoes?
All right, now I didn't. They're magic. I thought that's who we were talking about.
What? The house doesn't land on. No. You know the Wizard of Oz.
I know the Wizard of Oz.
The bucket of water kills her. She melts. I
know, but that's what I was wondering. All the way through this, this is how stupid I am. See, now everybody can make fun of me. All the way through this, I'm like, I thought we were dealing with the witch that died under the house.
No, that's the Wicked Witch of the East.
Exactly.
And Glinda's the Good Witch of the North.
Exactly. Why are you talking in that voice now all of a sudden? You're like, that's a Good Witch from the North. Like, all of a sudden, you're like, you're not understanding. Exactly. You're like,
listening to me.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, oh my God. What were you just doing? Where were you making the cannolis like that? It's like, we don't have any Italian anywhere in our family.
That's what I said. And Joe brought some to work today. And the review was that it's the best homemade cannoli they've ever had.
Made by a bunch of English-Irish people.
That's what I said. I said, this is so inspiring. If a bunch of super white kids can make a cannoli with no help from Nana, that anything is possible.
Yeah.
We called it Nana Google.
You went from a very Irish family to a more Irish. You married into a more Irish family.
Yeah, arguably much more Irish. They're Portuguese.
Yeah. So I don't know. But you even had the fingers up in the end, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, I don't know what I'm talking about, DJ. Yeah,
exactly.
I was like, oh my God. I'm getting yelled at by my Italian grandmother, and I don't even have an Italian grandmother.
Before we end this,
we're not ending it now, but I'm saying while you're doing Italian voices and you're doing all this and that, it's like you've got to give Steve your best impression of your English accent because they've been just dying do it on for that.
Spot.
You just did that one.
That came out naturally. Yeah, it's not natural if it doesn't come out.
Yeah, you naturally reprimanded me.
It's not naturally
if
I just start talking like that. Oh my, someday maybe he'll hear it.
Oh. All right. So you were
confused.
Yeah, I was confused. I don't think it changes the story at all. I was just, I'm wrong witch, wrong play. And I'm like, how does this work? Because I'm like, I was confused on who, I thought we were talking about the one that got buried.
Literally, it opens with a puddle.
Oh.
And the Wicked Witch in The Wizard of Oz is the green one.
Well, we never see the one under the house, do we? I forget
that.
No,
but
doesn't the house just land on her?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the house just lands on her. And then the feet roll up underneath
the
house.
Thought they were both green?
I didn't know. I wasn't thinking that far. Now I got to see Wizard of Oz before I see this again so that I'm all caught up, right?
Yeah, you do. Like,
I got the gist of the movie. I just didn't understand which characters were which characters.
Yes. The broom? She rides around on the broom?
Meg, you can keep saying it all you want. I thought that was what the house landed on her. That's what I was talking about.
No.
Okay. How did the one that landed on the house, how did she end up there? She probably rode a broom there.
No.
Because we never see the house land on her.
You just see her legs under the house.
That's what I just said. So how do I know she's not green? I don't know. I was just misremembering because it wasn't really a focal point on Wicked. It was just like, I was like, how does that get here? I'm like, which one is it? And I never even, I was so enthralled with the movie when I was awake that I never put two and two together that, this is the one that ends up as a puddle.
Yes.
She's reduced to a puddle.
So you have all of that to get through kind of from when she becomes the Wicked Witch that they just made her to Dorothy. I mean, it's not super fixated on Dorothy. We don't know yet if you're going to actually see Dorothy in this part two. In the play, she's just like a shadow behind the curtain.
Right.
But they expand on.
Like the Wizard of Oz.
Yes. But they, you get the development of how the Scarecrow and Tin Man and Lion came to be who they are. So, the Wizard of Oz story is in there. We don't know yet if you're going to see Dorothy. It seems like you might because they had, in this movie, the four of them walking to the Emerald City. They had a scene of that, a quick clip. So that is yet to be seen. But I think part two is going to be very cool. And I think you'll like it a lot.
I'm getting choked up.
Yeah. It's like, so good.
No, I'm really looking forward to part two because, like you said, it's like I want to see. I feel like this is almost like a movie unto itself.
Yeah.
It really doesn't need a part two.
No.
Because you basically, this whole entire thing has a beginning, a middle, an end, the character development of a character you never needed to have developed in the first place, which is super creative to begin with, or characters, I should say. Like you said, both, you know, Galinda and Alphabet, whatever.
Alphabet. I don't know. Alphabet.
Green. Greeny. We'll call her Greeny. Yeah, it's a, that entire, it's a movie all on its own.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting, I just thought of something.
What
if they had just said, we're just making this? And then
just the first part?
Yeah. And everybody would be like, would they, like now you've seen Wicked, so you'd probably be upset, right?
Yeah, you'd say, where'd the rest of the story go? That literally is the end. That is the end of part one, is Defying Gravity is the end before intermission.
Oh, okay.
And you, I mean, you do feel like that though in the theater, you're like, that feels like the end. Yeah, it feels like, you know, it feels like the end. But it just, honestly, part two just expands on it. Some people don't like the second part of the show as much as part one. I think it
tends to happen with sequels.
Well, but for the show, it's not a sequel. There's an intermission in every Broadway show, you know, it's not a sequel. It is part of the whole story. I think it's more on, like, it's more of the book of how all these people came to be. I do think it's important to get the whole story and to see how they really come to be the people they are and who's wicked, who's not. Really, there's no, obviously, answer. But it just goes into every character a little bit more. I think it'll be more fun for the story of, like, I think people like expanding on that. But it's not as dynamic. I don't think it's going to, like, it's not as dynamic as the first part is.
Well, I think it's kind of all the dynamics are laid out already.
Yeah.
Right? And now it's just, all right, now we're going to tell the story, finish telling the story.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the awe, you know, the awe and wonder is all taken up.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're just getting all right, where's the story go from here? So it'll be interesting if they can pull it off though. Maybe they, for movie's sake, they're able to because it's a different, obviously it's a different genre or different, you know, delivery system, as Steve and I put it, you know, like the delivery method is different.
Media type.
So, yeah. So,
I think it'll be fun for people like though that see the first movie though that haven't seen Wicked because, and maybe if they don't do any research in the middle and don't think about it too hard, like you don't know that you know those.
Like me? Like me?
Yeah, you don't know
don't
that
think
you.
Too much.
Like I just told you already met the Tin Man and you already met the Scarecrow and you're like, oh, really? I didn't know that. If you listen to the like story and the songs in the first part, you'll be like, oh, that's the Scarecrow. It is obvious if you really, really pay attention. But also, you don't know that that's coming. So if I didn't tell you, oh, you already met these characters, you might not know it's coming if you weren't trying to infer that. So I think it'll be fun for them to see, oh, that's where the story goes. Like, that's how you get all the people that you get. Even Dorothy, it gives an explanation why Dorothy's there, how she got there. It wasn't
random.
It's not random. A lot of people say like, oh, well, it was just a dream. The Wizard of Oz says it's just a dream. This is a different response to that. And some people wonder like, is this a, I saw a TikTok where someone was like, I don't get it. Like how they're saying that this all happened, but for Dorothy, it was just a dream. But they're saying Wicked tries to say it was real. But if it was real, did the tornado send her to a different place? And the whole time I'm thinking as a, honestly, I'll say as a Marvel fan, is like, obviously it's like a quantum realm, like just a different universe, you know, like she quantum leaped into a different place because of the tornado. And I feel like that's how I always felt, even with the Wizard of Oz, because I feel like all those people are real. It is a real thing. Dorothy just ended up in a different universe. That's how I always felt.
See, that's so interesting. It's like, oh man, we're going down a rabbit hole here. Because of the world you were brought up in.
Yeah. Well, and because
always thought of it as a dream.
Yeah, but think about it.
Was the thing a dream or a reality? We didn't have a lot of, well, I can't say that. When I was in, seventh grade science, my science teacher was the first person. Seventh grade science would have been 82, I think, roughly. So 1982, I'm 12 years old, whatever. And my science teacher was the first person to ever, and it blew my mind that I remember it to this day. I remember the classroom, the room, the building doesn't even exist anymore. I remember the classroom and where I was sitting, who was sitting next to me, the people sitting around me. It was like one of those moments in your life that you go, why is this a big moment in your life? Because she said to the class, there could be a whole other world going on in a completely different plane of light right here. Yeah. I was like, wait, what? Right here. Like another, like, but my hand, nope, a plane. And the whole class went nuts. Mm-hmm. We're like, what are you talking about? Like, cause everything is based. And then of course, growing up an artist, everybody thinks, I'm not creative. I can't do this. No, when you go to art school, you go to, they teach you how to see. That's all it is. They're teaching you how to see and how to deal with light. And then you couple that with what she said when I was 12 years old is like, so we're just seeing like our hands passing through each other, like phasing, like the Flash can do or anybody like all of that stuff is real. And it's like, it's just how we perceive light.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm like, that blew my mind. But Wizard of Oz, I never thought anything like that because it wasn't a big part of our world. It was our world was. There was nothing like that. I mean, you'd read comics and stuff, but it didn't go that far. It just into mainstream. Whereas for you, it's mainstream now. This, like you just, you know, quantum realm and all of this and this. And it's so mainstream that you're like, oh, that's what that is.
Exactly. There's so many like movies based off of it now. But I think too, I feel like we are people who get attached to characters. So, like, I wouldn't want to believe it's just a dream. I, like, you know, like, even as a kid, I mean, as a kid, I didn't have the idea of a quantum realm. But I always felt like the point of Wizard of Oz was to be like, was it just a dream? They're telling you it's just a dream because that's all that they can come up with. But was it really just a dream? So I never bought into the fact that it was just a dream. So I think people like to say, like, oh, well, Wicked is not the same as the Wizard of Oz because the Wizard of Oz was just a dream. And so Wicked is just making up a story for that world that doesn't exist. But in my mind, I think that world does exist for the sake of the story. Does exist. And Dorothy kind of was brought into this quantum realm. But it gives a reason for that. Like you and I know there's a reason for everything. So it gives a reason for the fact that Dorothy showed up. It like wasn't just by chance and for nothing.
Right. So that gets explained in part two. That's what you're saying?
Yeah.
So that's something to look forward to.
Yeah.
Obviously. Adding more to that, you know, an already almost 100-year-old story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Excuse me. I'm losing it again. So what are you the only one of your friends that's like into this or are your other friends like, do you have other friends that are really into this?
Yeah.
To this depth? You go deep like me, but you go deep into like, the movie part of it, the home theater part of it. You get into do your friends look at you like, what, Meg? No, it's just a story. Like, calm down, kid.
I don't know. I don't really talk to my friends about it.
Hey, you are a true Home Theater fan.
Yeah, like, you know, I don't know. Like, I don't just go, oh my God, have you seen Wicked? I think people, I don't know. I bet people, there's so much on like TikTok nowadays. If you like, if you get Wicked on your TikTok, you're going to get a ton of interviews and a ton of theories and things like that. So I think people do get into it more. It's easier to just get into it. Like, you don't have to go looking for the information. Usually the information just shows up for you, based on whatever media you look at. But so yeah, I think people are probably into it. I know there's a lot. There's a huge fan base. I wouldn't even consider myself like a super fan. There's people that are way more into it than I am. But yeah, I think people care. I think I have friends that like it, and I think they probably get a lot of media surrounding it, so they're into it and have the same maybe like knowledge on it that I do, or at least like are exposed to it.
Yeah, it, but that's what I mean. But like, you encompass everything. Like, you know what I mean? Like, even a super fan of Wicked is probably a super fan of like the movie part. Right. And yeah. Not like, do you, you know, like the, if you
I
went
think
into
it's
like,
so exciting.
Not the home theater part. And like, yeah. But make, like even the part where you were saying earlier, where you were talking about like the close ups and how they're utilizing that and they're getting all, and they're doing, that's home theater stuff. That's
I know,
stuff
but I think people recognize that, people who love the play will recognize that because they recognize that they are seeing what they're seeing. Like, they're like, oh my gosh, Ariana Grande did such a good job at making you feel that way just in her facial expressions. People definitely, I even thought like there's different parts where, like in Defying Gravity, Elphaba, Glinda says, you don't have to do this. Like, just apologize. She says, just say you're sorry. You can still be with the wizard, everything you've ever wanted. You can still have that. And she says, I know. But the way she says it is different than the soundtrack and than the play. In the play, she says it very loudly. She just says, I know. But in the movie, she whispers it, which is cool. It gives a different sense to it of like, she says, like, you can have all you ever wanted. And she whispers, I know. And then she continues, I don't want it. And then she says, I can't want it anymore. So even those little things, people that like Wicked are going to recognize because it's different. And yeah. I think you recognize though that it's different because it's the movie, because you can't whisper in the theater. Nobody's going to hear you. You can whisper your lines, but you can whisper your lines and add more depth to it in a film. So I do think people that like Wicked will realize that. Do they realize that it's very like movie fan oriented? I don't know. But I think they'll recognize those things. But I think it's fun because if you do like the theater, you can recognize those things. Whereas people who are home theater people probably won't recognize those nuances because they haven't seen the production or they don't. Know the product. Like, if you know that if you've only seen the production, you're not going to know those things. Like I said, you're not going to know, oh, she whispered that. She doesn't whisper it in the show. So it's cool for like Broadway theater people. And maybe gives them a little introduction into home theater things and appreciating theater.
Yeah. Home theater.
Home theater.
I think this is going to play really well at home. I think it'll be. As popular as it is in the theaters right now, I think it's going to be even more popular at home because of the length of the movie. I think it'll be more palatable for kids and you'll be able to sit them down. You know, you could sit down, pause, bathroom breaks, come back to it later. You could literally turn it. I mean, there are scene cuts in this that you can literally turn it into a series if you wanted to, like, you know, three parts or whatever. And of course, like you were saying, like all of the other things, it warrants multiple viewings for sure.
Yeah.
Especially if you've slept through part of it. but it's, I think that's going to be fun throughout the year to get caught up. Obviously, I'll watch Wizard of Oz again.
Yeah.
And then watch this. Now I'll even make more sense out of it. Mm-hmm. But then this is like part two is coming out, what? Same time next year?
Yeah.
Do you know?
Out in a year.
Mm-hmm. Are you sure about that?
Yeah. They already put out a thing. It said coming November 2025.
Okay. Well, we've had a lot of delays lately.
I think they already filmed it.
They already filmed them together.
Because there's scenes already in the first part that are from the second part. There's like flashes of it.
In the first part that are, oh, okay.
That are like the second part.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, flash forwards they did?
Yeah. Like tiny, tiny, tiny little ones.
Tiny, tiny. Yeah, I don't want to give it away.
Yeah. Well, it happens like in the very beginning when they say, when the little, or it wasn't a.
Did you pause
it was
or?
Just a munchkin. It says, Glinda, is it true that you were friends?
Hang on a sec. You did pause. Oh. You froze. It looked like you were thinking. No. I was like, did you pause? What happened there?
It happens in the beginning when someone says, Glinda, is it true that you two were friends? And then you see the flash, like it flashes of a bunch of different little scenes. Most of them are from part one, but a few of those little quick tidbits are from part two. So there's things we haven't seen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I think they already filmed it or most of it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's promising because this is one that you don't
want to wait around.
No. Well, they did it with the latest, Spider-Man. What was it? Across the Spider-Verse. It was supposed to be part one, part two. And now it's like, and that was quite the production as well. Obviously, it's animated, but you're left hanging.
Yeah.
No pun intended with spiderwebs, but you're left hanging. And then I don't know when the next one, when it's coming out again. It was what you'd think it'd be all lined up to do it a year later. Like they did. Lord of the Rings was great when they did it. It was like boom, 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 right? And there was no messing around. It was a year, which a year is a long time, but it flies by. Next thing you know, you're like, oh.
Yeah, they did. I think they did film. I mean, it took them 3 years to do all of this. So I think they did film it. Or at least parts of it. So I don't think it'll be. And they already put out, Universal Pictures already put out a thing of like a little small trailer that says Wicked Part 2 coming November 2025.
Well, I already purchased it. I showed you. I already purchased it on Kaleidoscape. So
yeah.
I don't think it'll be coming anytime soon because it's doing so well.
Yeah.
Usually if a movie's not doing well, I'll get it like a week or two, or actually like two to three weeks after it's been in the theater. You're like, oh, there it is. This one here that they'll probably, I don't think we'd even, maybe for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I doubt it though. I doubt it. Probably beginning of the year. Because it's going to do that well all the way up through the holidays and stuff. And why would they? Unless it takes a big dip after Thanksgiving or something. But I don't think so. I don't think it will. This is really good.
Yeah. And because it's a PG film too, like there's Christmas break and stuff coming up. I feel like that'll just be something to do. Like, oh, let's go see Wicked. Like what else? I don't know. It's a big movie right now. And whether kids are going to actually sit through it or not. People buy tickets and go see it because it is a PG movie.
It's a PG movie and it's got a really long run time. Typically in the business side of it, they like to keep it around 2 hours because you can get more viewings in a day where this is almost 3 hours. It's going to cut your viewings to a day. So to get more tickets sold, you got to maybe run it longer. And like you said, Thanksgiving break, you get into the holidays and you get into the holiday break. How long can this run for and bringing kids to see it?
And I think too, they did so much advertisement for it that people are just going to be interested to be like, what is this about? What are people, right? Like, what are people so excited about? Even people who don't know Wicked, I think will want to see it.
Yeah. It's, I knew it very peripherally through you know, and just like, oh, okay, it's this. But then literally sitting next to you, watching you at the beginning, I was like, oh my God, I didn't know. Like how much you were into, I mean, good. You were clapping, like I said earlier, so you were clapping, so excited, and singing along. And I'm like, what the heck?
I didn't sing along. Don't make people think I was annoying in the theater and sang
No,
along.
You weren't. No, you were mouthing it. You were mouthing it. No, you weren't annoying. You weren't annoying. It would have kept me awake.
Yeah, maybe annoying. I should have sang it next to you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's it. No, just watching you and the enthusiasm that you had just from as soon as it started.
Yeah. I was like, oh, it was so good. It was so good.
Yeah. And then your enthusiasm to get, I got, what, you got any more notes?
No, I think we hit everything.
We hit it all?
Yeah.
Oh. All right. What did Greg think of it? I know he didn't like the opera.
He liked it. I was surprised. He actually liked it. Even some of the songs. The song they sing at the beginning when they become roommates, they sing Loathing. Yeah. Unadulterated Loathing. Greg loves that. He keeps singing it.
Oh, jeez.
So, no, he liked it. He thought it was good. And it, he agreed that it. He didn't feel like it felt like too long. So, I mean, okay. I think anybody could see it and love it. It's. I mean, it's almost like if you know The Wizard of Oz a little bit, you'll be like, it'll be interesting, which obviously you didn't really know it at all.
I knew that was coming. I knew. Look at you. You enjoyed it. You slept through most of it. And I don't even know the origin.
They don't
story.
Want people to think they're going to fall asleep. You're no, not. You shouldn't. It's no, not boring. You're not.
No, no, it's not. It's not. It just, it's not it's, boring at all.
It's very dynamic. Like it's, yeah. It really like you, it, and I made sure to ask a second opinion from Greg, who doesn't know Wicked. It doesn't feel like it's dragged out. It doesn't feel like it's too long. It feels like just the right amount. There's, I feel like there's so many other parts of the story they could have harped on if they really wanted to.
Right.
But they didn't.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. No, I know. No, it was all me. It wasn't the story. Cause every time I was like, oh no, it's like,
yeah.
But the other part is I don't know how much I actually slept. Because it, those are the, you know, when you doze off and you don't know you did and you're like, oh, I don't feel like I missed a ton.
Yeah.
It's like, I know the story. I know like what was, I was enough to explain it to mom and be like, okay. But it was, like you said, it was dynamic. It was captivating enough that it, when I was like, I didn't want to fall. I was fighting to not fall asleep.
Yeah.
And it's like, cause I wasn't entertained, but you're also like, where is this going? And I was just so blown away by the idea of what they did with the characters.
Yeah.
Like from, you know, taking something from Wizard of Oz like this and literally flipping it on its head and just being like, and you had your little, speaking of flipping it on its head, is you had your little soda in the hat.
Yeah.
In the witch's hat.
Yeah.
So they nailed that too.
Oh, yeah.
That looked just like, I mean, your soda looked just exact. Like every time they showed it.
Even the like positioning of the hat.
Yeah. The
little wrinkle. Like curve. Yeah.
Yeah. The curve and wrinkle in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. So, all right. What's the next movie you want to go see?
I don't know. I don't keep
What are you looking forward to now? Don't say Wicked 2. Are they calling it Wicked 2 or Part 2?
Part 2, probably.
Just Part 2.
I don't know. I don't keep up with the movies.
They should call it Wicked Awesome.
Wicked awesome. Be, it's wicked good.
There we go. Wicked good. Wicked good. That's what it is. Yeah, that's Boston. There you go.
It's wicked good. Yeah. I don't know. I don't really keep up with what movies are coming out. I only knew Wicked was coming out because I was excited about it.
Yeah, I let everybody know. You're the one. You bought all the tickets too. Mm-hmm. You bought all the tickets. You organized everything.
Yeah.
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 That's great. It's like I raised you right.
Mm-hmm.
At least I did that part right.
Well, that is a movie I think if I was younger, we would have seen as a midnight premiere because I would have been excited about it. So we would have gone to see it as a midnight premiere. And I knew I was working the whole weekend that it came out. So I was like, we have to see it on Thursday. And even Friday night I was working. So I knew I wouldn't be able to see it the day, the quote unquote day was supposed to come out. So I was like, oh, we have to go to that early screening. That would have been the midnight premiere.
I miss the midnight premieres.
I do too.
That we used to do. That I wish they, because they've taken something that you had to earn.
Yeah.
And they've made it available to
everybody. You had to be the one that stayed up and watched it at midnight.
Yeah.
And now you just get it at 3 p.m. on the Thursday.
Yeah, and who cares about that? It's like, okay.
It's not a badge you earn. It was so fun when, like, I think I've said this on the podcast before, but we would go and see, like, any movie. Most of the book adaptations. Yeah. Yep. Hunger Games. Hunger Games was something everybody was into. That was my age when it came out. And I remember everyone was so excited for it to come out. And I remember going to school the next day, because that was the rule. I had to go to school. And I remember going to school
At midnight, but you've got to get up and go to school the next day.
Yeah. And I remember going to school the next day being like, oh, I already saw it.
Yeah.
Like, it just came out today. And I'm like, yep, I know.
Or they'd say it's not even out yet. Because you're in school in the morning and they're like, it's not even out yet.
Yeah. Yeah,
it came out today, but today was midnight. Started at 12:01.
Yeah. That was really fun as a kid. I mean, I still kind of got that because we're not on camera, but I have a Wicked sweatshirt. And I had that on at work the other night and someone said, oh, did you see the movie? I think it was it was Saturday that I wore it. Saturday night. So it had been out for 2 days. Someone goes, oh, did you see the movie? Oh, not yet. It just came out, right? And I said, oh, no. I was like, yes, it just came out, but I did see it. I said I saw it on Thursday. Yeah. So it's still fun, but it's not as fun as the midnight premieres. And like you said, the midnight premieres were fun, like, because that was the first showing. And so, like, even the one we went to on Thursday wasn't the first one. I think the first one at that theater was at 3.
It's 3,
But the midnight showing, like, people would show up in costume. Like, it was the fans. Like, so, I do miss it. I wish they'd bring it back, but.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, like you said, it's like those were the real fans. Those were the people that were dressed up. Those were the people that were so enthusiastic to be there.
Yeah.
Even though it's midnight, it's like you had such a an interaction with the movie, with the people and with everybody in the room. I felt like, to be honest with you, though, I felt like it was pretty close to that with Wicked.
Mm-hmm.
I really did. It's like the room wasn't sold out. But I think the main part of the room was pretty full.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty full.
The part way down on the floor by the screen.
I bought our tickets a week in advance and I had to split us up because
there
were no because it was five people. We needed a lot of seats together. There were like a couple like spread out two seaters in the main section. But other than that, you had to buy tickets in the front. So, I thought it was a good turnout.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was probably one of the best turnouts I've seen.
Still not the midnight premiere. That was always packed.
Oh, yeah.
And you get there and wait in line because you couldn't pick your seats ahead of time. It was before that.
Yeah.
People would wait in line. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. 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 Waiting. Oh, my God. I can't believe. Yeah. You had to do that too. Yeah, way, way back. Do you remember? And then we also did our daily thing. Our I stole you out of school.
Yes, we did do that.
And did
that. Wasn't for premieres, but that we just.
No, that was just.
Because that was, it was honestly never even a movie that like we were like
dying to see
because we would see those as midnight premieres. But no, every year we'd see just a different movie.
Yeah, it's like, wasn't Kung Fu Panda the first? I always think it was.
No.
You tell me which one. Do you remember which one?
Flicka was the first in second grade.
Flicka was the first one?
It was in second grade. God. Kung Fu Panda was third grade.
Okay.
Fourth grade.
What was the Miley one?
Last Song. That might have been fourth grade. I think I was.
Oof. How old was I in that was a tough grade? One.
Yeah, I think it came out in 2009. Yeah, you cried.
Didn't know what I was walking into on that one.
No. Spoiler alert, the dad dies. Movie about a dad and a daughter and the dad dies. Took me. That was 2010, so that must have been fifth grade.
I don't think you went to school the next day after that. No, I'm just kidding. No.
So High School Musical 3 must have been fourth grade. And that was a fun one because I was dying to see that. And that was the day it came out that you took me to see it. And because they definitely didn't do a midnight premiere for High School Musical 3.
No.
So that was fun because I got to tell all my friends that I went to see it. I got to see it before all my friends. Fifth grade. So then fifth grade must have been the last song. Sixth grade was prom. It was a random Disney movie.
Yeah.
I don't remember. We did see one in high school. You definitely took me out of school in high school. I just don't remember. I think it was senior year.
I took you every year. I know I took you every year.
I think it was.
It's just which ones did we, it's like some of them are less memorable.
Yeah. Cause I remember the class I was in. Yeah. Did I drive myself to school though?
You might have.
But I remember you drove me to the movies.
Yeah.
Maybe we just went back to get my car, but I remember cause I asked mom if I could stay home from school that day.
Oh, really?
I didn't want to go to school. I was a mess emotionally because that's what being a teenage girl is like. And I was like, I don't want to go to school today. And she said, just go. You'll have fun once you see your friends. And I was like, no, I won't. But then I think AP Gov. Yeah, I remember where I was sitting. So yes, it must have been senior year because I can picture it from the seat I sat in that class. And they would just call the office phone and say, oh, Megan for dismissal or whatever. And my teacher said, oh, Megan, you're getting dismissed. He was kind of annoyed because usually you tell them at the beginning of class, if you're going to get dismissed so that you can just go and not interrupt the class. But I was like, oh, I am? And then I was like, thank God. I didn't want to be there.
Oh, geez.
The perfect day.
There you go.
But I don't remember what we saw.
No.
Senior year.
No. Yeah. I wanted to do it when you were in college too.
Yeah. You said that. I think on the podcast you said, but you couldn't take me out of class.
And
you need those classes.
You're legit studying to be a nurse. Yeah. And I'm like, you can't be like, hey, come with me. Yeah. Oh, I remember how stressful it was for you too.
And you can't get dismissed from a college class. You know, that'd be weird if you they were like, you're
exactly. I suppose you could, but it's going to be some kind of an emergency, not to go see Kung Fu Panda 4.
Yeah, exactly. It's really important.
What was that? That must have been serious. Well, yeah, we had to see Kung Fu Panda 4.
It was serious.
Dead serious. Oh, all right. Yeah. Well,
this was fun.
Glad you took over this Tuesday.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Haven't been on in a while.
Yeah, I did look it up.
My husband comes on more than me now.
No.
Yes, your
husband. Oh my God, how far you've come. You have a husband now. last time you've been on before, Take Over Tuesday, featuring Megan Lynch, June 20th, 2023. You were on. You were on Brightside Chat. We talked Wonder Woman over there.
Rewind the episode. I said we talked Wonder Woman on chat, and you said we talked it on home theater.
No, but I was saying you've been on this one too.
Yes, but you did say Wonder Woman was theater, and I said it was chat.
Did I? Okay.
Rewind the tapes, everybody.
Rewind the tapes. There you go.
This is what it feels like when you got two people that always think they're right.
Yeah, only one of them can be. So here it is. The last time you were on, June 20th, and it says, Meg is here to take over the podcast. Almost 24 years ago, Meg arrived and took over DJ's life. And he's loved every minute of it. Has been on the Brightside Home Theater before, but this is her first appearance on the podcast as Megan Lynch. See? So you had been on before. Wife of a home theater enthusiast herself, Meg and DJ chat about her history in home theater and movies and what kind of impact it has had on her life. So, yeah, that was
sounds so interesting. People should listen to that one.
Yeah, you got to go listen.
Go back and listen.
Yeah, and you've popped in before. Yes. You also popped in to yell at Steve
a
couple of times.
I did.
Yeah. You can't do your accent?
No.
No?
Maybe another day.
Maybe another day. You'll have to pop in when you're feeling it. Talk to Steve in the accent.
Yeah, I'll let you know. In the show. Yeah. That would be way more embarrassing if he was there, actually in front of me, and I decided to mimic his accent. That's really embarrassing.
Why? That's fun.
It's weird.
It's funny. So, oh my God. But you can mimic an entire other like race or nationality of people just because they're not in front of you. make fun of the Italians. Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares?
That came out.
Yeah, exactly. There you go, all my Italian listeners. All right. That was awesome.
Thank you, Meg. Thanks for having me.
We'll have to revisit when it comes out at home.
Yes.
We'll do a show. We'll watch it in the theater. I'll get a couple of toothpicks for my eyes.
Yep.
we'll sit down and we'll talk about the actual home theater experience.
Sounds good.
Sound good?
Yeah.
All right. That'll do it. Thanks, Meg. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be back later this afternoon with the live show Tuesdays at 5 p.m. And until then, you know what you got to do.
Go push play.
What he said. Hey.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.